and give us rain. 2 Chronicles 16. We need the rain, don't we? In 2 Chronicles 14, we see, and I'll just read verse 1, Abijah slept with his fathers. They buried him in the city of David. Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. And in his days, the land was quiet 10 years. Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He took away the altars of the strange gods, the high places. He broke down the images and cut down the groves. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. He also took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places, the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. It says he built cities in Judah, fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. You know, as we look at our lives, there are times, and I don't know if I want to see the chart, if it's available when I get to heaven, about the times where I've been walking with the Lord and everything's been right, and when I've left him behind and done my own thing. I don't know if I want to see that chart, do you? If it went through the day, if it went through the week or through the year, on what times it is when I'm relying on myself, my own strength, my own power, my own strategy, or when I'm relying on God. And we see Asa here, as long as he was trusting God and serving God and doing well, things were fine. But it was when, and let's understand something. I know that we have a church full of people, and maybe those tuned in, who love God and still have problems. So don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that's the only reason we have trouble. You know, good people have bad things happen to them. But we can almost guarantee when we walk away from God that trouble's going to come. When we talk about church discipline, and someone is in the church, they're under the protection of the church, that umbrella of protection. And then when someone is excluded from the church, put out by discipline, then the Bible says that the devil can destroy the flesh. So there's something to that. We need to walk with God, because when we don't walk with God, we're in dangerous territory. In chapter 15 and verse 1, the Bible says this, the Spirit of God came on Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and he said to him, hear ye me, Asa, all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while ye be with him. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. I don't know about you. I don't want to be out there on my own. I don't want to be outside of God's protection. I don't want to be away from the opportunity to pray and to know the voice of God, the Spirit of God speaking to me and directing me in my life. I need God in my life. I need God's instruction. I need the Word of God in my life to keep me on course, keep me on track, to keep me following the Lord. I need God's Word. We need to read it and study it and pray and stick close to God. And the preacher came and he told him, look, as long as you keep serving God, things are going to be fine. For 10 years, they had peace. We come to chapter 16 and that changed. Something changed. What happened? In the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. They put a blockade. They blocked it. There was no travel in or out of Judah, not through Israel. He wasn't going to let it happen. Now, it doesn't mean you couldn't go all the way around the Dead Sea and come up the other way, but for a lot of people, it just wouldn't be worth it. And so he had a blockade there. Nobody could go out or come in. Now, what could Asa have done? Well, Asa could have prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, do you want me to go out there and whoop them? Lord, do you want me to take the army of Judah and go out there and push them back? He could have prayed and said, Lord, will you take care of it? You know, the Bible talks about God sending hornets and running them off. How many of you are going to hang around with the hornet swarming? Not me. I'm out of here. I mean, God could send the thunder and the hail and the storms and run them back home. It's just make it where it was intolerable for them to be there. But see, Asa didn't look to God. He didn't look to the one who had proven himself. He didn't look to the one that the preacher had pointed him to. He didn't look to the one that he had been walking with and living for all those years. No, this time he decided he was going to take another route. It says in verse number 2, Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord. Now he goes on and he says some more things, but does he really need to say more in that verse? He took God's stuff out of God's house and he said, I will use this for my security. Will a man rob God? Asa did. Took it right out of the house of God. And he took it out of the king's house. And he sent it to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus. He said, there's a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I've sent thee silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. And Ben-Hadad hearkened to King Asa, and he sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. They smote Ihon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it, he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. So he's building this city to blockade as a more or less a port and deny an entry to anyone who would come into Judah. But then he got word that the cities in the north were being attacked by Syria. And so he left what he was doing against Judah, and he went to defend his own cities in northern Israel. And when they did that, Asa sent a team to go up there and take down everything they'd built and haul it away. That's in verse number 6. They hauled it away, and actually, it says he built there with Geba and Mizpah. Built his own cities. With lumber prices these days, you got to keep a sharp eye out, don't you? So Asa called on Syria, took God's stuff to Syria, bought protection, didn't trust God, didn't call on God, never thought about consulting with God. He just handled it his own way. Hey, by the way, did his plan work? It did work. It worked. Short term, it worked. Guys, that's the problem. Sometimes our short term plans will work. Short term. But in the long run, I need God. In the long run, we need God. And so why step away from God and try a plan that hasn't been proven when we can stay with God and let him show us the way? And I mean all the time, every day, and everything. Let God show us the way. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Isn't that in the Bible? Did you read that? Don't trust yourself. Trust God. So he goes on and the Bible tells us about the disappointment there, and we go to verse number 10. Actually, go to verse number 7, I'm sorry. At that time, Hanani the seer, which is just another word for preacher, came to Asa, the king of Judah, and he said to him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. The preacher says, Asa, don't you understand that this was an opportunity for you to not only conquer Israel and regain the kingdom, but to stretch yourself all the way to Syria? Hey, if you'll look at the promise that God made to Abraham, that land stretches from Egypt, from the border there, all the way up into Iran. And that encompasses all of Syria. And so at all these opportunities that they would have had, they didn't follow. And the preacher says you could have not only solved your problem, but you could have moved on and expanded. But you didn't trust God. Now you signed the league. Now you took God's stuff and gave it to that guy. Verse number 8, were not the Ethiopians, the Lubims, a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand. He said, it's proven. God has shown himself faithful. God has shown himself capable. How many of us can say that about our lives? God has shown himself capable. We hear the prayer requests as answers, the praise reports. God is moving. God has worked. We need to rely on God. But then he says this in verse 9. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Their heart is perfect toward him. In other words, they truly love, they sincerely love God. It's not a show. It's not religion. It's not a, you know, a talisman or a lucky, you know, a lucky charm. Right? Prayer is not a lucky charm. Prayer is me talking to my Father. Communion with God is fellowship with the Savior. It's not just going to church and sitting there enduring, indulging, trying to stay awake and keep our smile on our face. I can always tell when you wake up because you smile real big. That's not what it's for. What's it for? It's for serving God and spending time with God. And loving his word and loving his truth. He says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. You thought you had trouble yesterday? He says, from now on, you're going to have trouble. I would rather walk with God through the trials and the difficulties and then God would come out the other side than to walk away from God and have trials and tribulation the rest of my days. Always in conflict. Always in turmoil. And so what did King Asa do? Remember, we started in chapter 14. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Throughout all the other idols and all the other temples and all the other religions, and everybody ought to serve God. The preacher came and said, you're doing it right, man. You keep it up. So what happens now? Does he say, you're right? I didn't even think of that. I don't know where my head was. God, I'm sorry. I repent bitterly with tears. No, he threw the preacher in jail. I mean, that sounds like the right answer, doesn't it? When God sends you a messenger, you lock him up, punish him. Nobody likes to be confronted with our sin, but do you really think that's going to help your cause with God? I guarantee it's not. But see, something else happened. There was a final test. Asa got a sickness in his feet, the Bible says. He went to the doctors and they couldn't fix it. And the preacher came to Asa and he says, because you trusted the doctors instead of God, this sickness is unto death. You see, it's one thing for us to fail. It's one thing for us to sin. It's one thing for us to make a mistake. But it had become a pattern. Asa had walked away from God. He had abandoned God. He had abandoned faith. He lost his heart for prayer. He lost his heart for worship. He lost his heart for God. And God said, I won't have you king over my people anymore. And took him away. We have got to have an intimate, personal relationship with God. We need to talk to him in the morning. We need to talk to him through the day. We need to laugh with him. We need to sing with him. We need to walk with him and just enjoy his presence. You don't have to pray all the time. Just recognize that he's there and just enjoy his presence. We need that. But when we don't pray and when we don't serve and when we're not in obedience to God, we run the risk of forgetting. Don't raise your hand, but how many of us in our lives get through the day and look back and say, I forgot to pray. You see, something happens in the morning that gets us off our schedule. Somebody interrupts and we never get back to our prayer. But we need to not forget the time with God because that's what builds our relationship. That's what brings us closer to Him. It's like sending a love note or a love text or whatever it is y'all do with your spouse. Sending flowers or just, you know, checking in on them. We need that with God. We just need to check in. I know God hadn't gone anywhere, and I know He's okay. But we just need to check in with Him and have a chat. Let's have prayer, and then we'll move into our business. God, we're thankful for the time that we have shared tonight. Lord, as we look at these events in the Old Testament, and we're reminded how precious and how fragile our faith can be. God, sometimes we're so distracted and so busy that we forget the most important one in our lives, and that being You. God, we need You. We love You. We worship and adore You. We thank You for all of Your many blessings. We pray that You will guide us now into this business meeting as a church, that everything said and done will be in accordance with Your will. Teach us in Jesus' name. Amen.